Can I kindly request the brothers who have finished their sunnahs to quietly come towards the front, inshallah. Taking into consideration, just be careful of those people who are still performing salah. If everyone can come closer to the front, please. So all those youngsters at the back, Yusuf, Jalal, all of those boys at the back, come towards the front, please, inshallah. Brothers who are here for the fourth key as well, you can come to the front, no problem, inshallah. You can benefit from this speech, inshallah. It'll be a good use of your time. So we can all come to the front, inshallah. It'll be very beneficial. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wal'aqibatu lil-muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad khatam al-Nabiyyin, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmi deen, amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, my respected brothers and elders and my young friends, it's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all the ability to gather in the masjid, first of all for the prayer of Maghrib. So alhamdulillah, it's a big blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a Muslim, it's extremely important that not only do we perform our salah, our namaz, but we also perform it in the masjid with congregation, with jamaat. This is very important. It's not that we just perform salah, but I don't do it with jamaat. Many times you speak to brothers, gee, boys, if we can be a bit quiet on the side, the young boys. Gee. Many times you speak to brothers and you speak to them about salah, about namaz, and they say, yes, Qari sahab, Imam sahab, I perform namaz, but I just can't make it to the masjid for salah. I just can't make it to the masjid. I'm just busy with this or that, unfortunately I have something going on, this or that or the other. But the reality is, as Muslims, performing salah in the masjid is necessary as Muslim males. To the extent that scholars mention it's wajib, some mention it's, it's sunnah mu'akkada. But most scholars are almost unanimous, you can say that it's in the wajib, meaning it's necessary. You have to perform salah in the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he was very upset. And then he said, I wish I could gather some young boys together, and I wish I could go and set fire to the homes of those people who are not performing salah with jamaat in the masjid. Meaning it's such a serious thing. Rasulullah is saying this, of course, to show us the importance, or to express to us the importance of this, that everybody should be performing salah inside of the masjid. So we should make a habit of it. MashaAllah, a lot of very young faces, so we all had holidays. So in the holidays, we need to be asking ourselves, how many of us turned up and came to the masjid for salah? And if we say, oh well, my dad doesn't come, or my brother doesn't come, or these people don't come, or my mum doesn't tell me, we need to create that importance ourselves. That this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made necessary upon me. On the Day of Judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, one of those people who will be under the shade of Allah's throne. Imagine a day so hot that the sun will be just, one arm's length or two arms length above our head. Such a boiling hot day. And there will be some people who will be extremely happy, who will not be affected by the heat. They will be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shade. And there will be seven groups of people. And one of those groups of people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, is رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ وَبِالْمَسْجِدِ. That a person whose heart is connected to the masjid. So connected, meaning, when you... مُعَلَّق means something which is hung up. Like if you take your jumper and you put it on a hanger and you hang it in the wardrobe, so it's hung on, it's not going to come off. So that's how this person's heart is hung, attached to the masjid, that he can't stop thinking about the masjid. When he's in the masjid, he wants to stay there. When he leaves the masjid, he's just thinking, when will be next namaz time? I need to get to the masjid for salah. Somebody says, well, why don't you come and just do this? Why don't you just come to another town and do this? And he's thinking, you know what? My priority is my namaz in the masjid. First, I need to make sure I perform my salah in the masjid, and then I will come. So this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him so much that Allah ta'ala will give him a special place underneath Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shade on the Day of Judgment. So that's why it's very, very important. So alhamdulillah, we should all say alhamdulillah and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having the ability or being given the ability to attend namaz in the masjid. And we need to make an intention to come for Isha Salah. Inshallah, we'll all be here because we'll all be listening to the program attentively till the end. So Isha Salah will be here, and then we make an intention from Fajr Salah. Many of us, especially, you know, when Fajr Salah is later, we're awake by that time. We're eating our cornflakes, our cocoa pops, and we're getting ready for school. So we can come to the masjid, especially if our house is very close. We can come perform salah, and mashallah, it's very happy. It makes us very happy when we see our young students in the masjid for Fajr Salah. We all should have this intention. Where when we make an intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us. And this applies to the youngsters and to the elders. Our elders always have lots of excuses. Kids, crying, feeding, sleeping, work. You know, we always have so many excuses. And it's easy for shaitan to generate excuses for us. That's shaitan's job. He'll say, don't worry about it, I'll find something for you. And the shaitan will generate an excuse for us. So we need to not be pacified by that. Think, you know what, it's okay, I've got an excuse. Rather, on the Day of Judgment, we need to think to ourselves, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the interrogator, and Allah ta'ala questions me about this, how do I have a valid response? Was there a way I could have got to the masjid and quickly? I didn't have to perform all my sunnahs in the masjid. I could have just performed my fard. So please, my dear respected brothers, we need to make this very firm upon ourselves. It's a day and age of fitna, a day and age where people are leaving Islam. Just today I was listening to, you know, a long dialogue between a person who'd left, a woman who'd left Islam, and a Muslim. And you know, the things that they say, one of the biggest problems is, it's all emotional arguments. And one of the reasons for all of these emotional arguments is this kind of being disconnected. So when we stay away from the masjid, when we stay away from good people, when we stay away from people who will help us, who will bring us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, slowly, 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 you know, we fall into bad habits, and then we go so far away that it's very hard to make a U-turn and turn back. So one of the most important things is building a connection with Islam, with the masjid, with the Quran, with the pious people. So we start from there. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the sheep is by itself, then the wolves will easily attack it and devour it. So therefore, if you perform salah in the masjid, you are with the congregation, with the gathering of Muslims, and it's easier to safeguard our iman in that way. Anyway, alhamdulillah, the reason why we've gathered here today is for a very important program. As we all know, there's just a couple of days left, or we should all know, there's just a couple of days left till the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is the most important month in the Islamic calendar. And it's very, very precious, it's very, very valuable. It's like the, you know, they have this in business or whatever it is, they say this golden period. You know, there's a time where a lot of places need workers to work, and then they give them lots of money, especially throughout the Christmas period. So this is known as the golden period. A lot of people just work in that golden period in the warehouses and the factories, and they make enough money to get through the whole year. They work overtime, they get paid double pay, and all of this. I don't know about anymore, but this is how it used to be. So Ramadan is the golden period of the Muslims. If we learn and understand how to benefit from Ramadan, inshallah, we will gain the amount of spirituality and piety that we can get through the entire year in goodness. But if a person wastes the month of Ramadan, then unfortunately, it's a sign that they will waste the entire year. So alhamdulillah, without wasting any further time, inshallah, we're going to make a start on our program. To kickstart this program, inshallah, we will start with the recitation of the Holy Quran, because the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of all words. So inshallah, we'll start with the tilawat of the Quran, and I'd like to call upon one of our young students, Habib Nawaz, to come forward and recite some Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العصف والريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان خلق الإنسان من صلصال كالفخار وخلق الجن من مارج من نار فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان رب المشرقين ورب المغربين فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان يخرج منهما اللؤلؤ والمرجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان وله الجوار المنشآت في البحر كالأعلام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله اللهم زيد فزيد اللهم تقبل. Allah Ta'ala accept him, Allah Ta'ala give him. MashaAllah, he's one of our young Hifz class students. So Alhamdulillah, we have had the Hifz class running for about a year and a half now. InshaAllah, we ask you to do dua for the success. You know, since I started in the masjid about 5 years ago, I was constantly told, start a Hifz class, start a Hifz class. And the people who tell you to start a Hifz class think it's very easy to run and manage a Hifz class. It's very, very difficult. And then to have those students. So that's why, my dear brothers, when you come to me and you say, oh, can you take my son for Hifz? Please think, do I have the right amount, do I have that mentality to be able to make my child a hafiz? It takes a very strong mentality, very firm mentality, that you have to be quite strict, you have to make sure that the children are doing their learning, and we also have to do that as well. So mashallah, Habib has completed almost 10 juz of the Quran. I think it may be a bit more than 10 juz of the Quran. Mashallah, Allah Ta'ala accept. So inshallah, we do ask you to do dua, that Allah Ta'ala makes these. Creating huffaz is a very important thing. That Allah Ta'ala create huffaz in our community, who can carry the legacy of the Holy Quran forward inshallah into the future. So without any further ado, inshallah, I'd like to call our special guest, Marna Ibrahim Diwan Sahib, to come forward. And Marna is, mashallah, a senior scholar to myself as well. Inshallah, many of you know our respected Marna Sahib. He teaches in our Marna Akbar Sahib's madrasa as well, Madrasa Falahi Dareen. So inshallah, he'll come forward and enlighten us with a very important speech on welcoming the month of Ramadan.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لربكم في أيام دهركم نفحات ألا فتعرضوا له لعله أن يصيبكم نفحة منها فلا تشقون بعدها أبدا. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله فصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أنت أهله وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. All from the depth of your hearts, recite Durood Sharif. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. It was a practice of some of our akabir, and in our times, our muhtamim, our principal of our Darul Uloom, Manan Abdul Hamid Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, it was his noble practice that at the beginning of every bayan, then he would mention a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reason he would do this, or what we understood of a few reasons that he would do this, was that to start off a bayan where we can impart and teach and learn a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we can bring into our life, then inshallah, through the barakah of the sunnah, then whatever else will come later on in the bayan, inshallah, will become beneficial. And it will become ilmi nafi', ilm which will benefit us in this world and bring immense reward for us in this world and bring us success in this world and in the hereafter. So that was one benefit. And the other benefit, Mufti Sahib, this is just for me and you. MashaAllah, we give a lot of bayans and we hear a lot of bayans. One of the Hamid Sahib used to say that we give one sunnah at the beginning. That if they sleep the rest of the bayan and they don't take any messages from the rest of the bayan, then at least they remember one thing at the beginning. Because our attention span, dear Hafiz Ibn Sa'd, attention span is very small. The speaker is going to speak for 1 hour and I'm only listening for the first 5 minutes. So if we impart one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inshaAllah, this will bring us benefit that at least I learned one thing. So this one sunnah inshaAllah that I will try to impart to you today, and we will all learn and practice upon this sunnah inshaAllah from today and for the rest of our life. The Sahabi narrating this hadith, his name is Muslim bin Harith At-Tamimi radiallahu anhu. He narrates that once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam secretly told me. So this was a secret between the Sahabi and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
And today this is going to be mine and your secret. This is going to be mine and your secret. What did he say? He said that whoever recites after the Maghrib Salah 7 times, and whoever recites after the Fajr Salah 7 times, then first we'll tell you the virtue, and then we'll tell you what we need to recite. Whoever recites 7 times after the Maghrib Salah, and whoever recites 7 times after the Fajr Salah, if he was to pass away that night, then he will be protected from the fire of Jahannam. Guaranteed. This is the words of, not my words, this is the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if he was to pass in the day, after reading it 7 times after the Fajr Salah, and he was to pass away in the day, then he will also be protected from the fire of Jahannam. Now, such a great virtue for reciting this. So what comes in yours and my mind? That's something which is going to protect us and guarantee us protection from the fire of Jahannam, insha'Allah, insha'Allah, through the truthful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then it must be something hard. It must be something difficult. But such is the blessing and the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his every sunnah is so simple, my brothers, that if, and my sisters, that if we just bring these simple, simple sunnahs in our life, then inshallah we can guarantee our success, not only in this world, but in the qabr, in the akhirah. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam secretly tell this sahabi? And what is mine and your secret? Recite 7 times after the Maghrib Salah. MashaAllah, we just read our Maghrib Salah. Okay, if you already knew this, inshallah recite it again. And if you didn't know this, then inshallah you will learn and we will practice from today. Recite 7 times after the Maghrib Salah. Okay, repeat after me. Allahumma ajirni minan nar. How many words?
Four
words. Allahumma ajirni minan nar. 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 Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We have just secured, inshallah, through the truthful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, emancipation from the fire of Jahannam, inshallah. Oh Allah, protect me from the fire. Oh Allah, protect me from the fire. Oh Allah, protect me from the fire. Every day, inshallah, after the Maghrib Salah 7 times, and after the Fajr Salah 7 times, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever recites it 7 times, and if he was to pass away that night, and if this is going to be our last night, then inshallah we can have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the blessings of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that inshallah we will not enter the fire of Jahannam and we will be protected from the fire of Jahannam. And then we will wake up for Fajr Salah if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life, and we will read our Fajr Salah, and after the Fajr Salah we will read this dua again 7 times. Allahumma ajirni minan nar. Oh Allah, protect me from the fire of Jahannam. And inshallah we will secure our freedom from Jahannam, and we will carry on this as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life. So the topic of today, my brothers, was preparing for Ramadan. So before we begin to explain or attempt to explain how we should correctly prepare for the blessed month of Ramadan and how to make this Ramadan fruitful, then it is very important that you and I understand what is our objective of this world. For what purpose did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create me? What am I doing in this world? My brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in this world for a maqsad, for an objective. There was a reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Why? What is the purpose? What is the objective of our creation? If we understand this, then inshallah, whatever we do in our life, if we keep our objective in mind, there must be an objective, there must be a goal, there must be a target. Otherwise, my brothers, you and I know how many years of our life has already passed. MashaAllah, there's a lot of youngsters here. But here I'm talking about those who have, MashaAllah, all our beard is also coming right now. MashaAllah. Yeah? But even our youngsters, how many years of our life have already gone? And when's the last time you and I contemplated that, what is the maqsad? Hamari zindagi ka maqsad kya hai? Allah ne hame paida kiya kis ki wajah se? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Maqsad to ek hi hai. We have learned from our Hazrat Damat Barakatuhu, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Salim Dorat, Hafizahumullah. He quotes the famous saying of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Rahimahullah. And Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib Rahimahullah says that not khanka maqsood hai, na madrasa maqsood hai, na da'wat wa tabligh maqsood hai. Yani, to go to the khanka, to go to a sheikh, is not the objective of our life. To go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the objective of our life. To come to madrasa to learn Quran, to learn hadith, to learn du'as, to learn surahs, this is also not an objective of our life. Then he goes even a step further. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahimahullah says that koi mufti mujh pe fatwa na lagaye, that no mufti should put a fatwa on me, a fatwa of kufr on me. Main kehta hoon ke na namaz maqsood hai, na roza maqsood hai, na zakat maqsood hai, na hajj maqsood hai. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahimahullah says that no mufti should put a fatwa of kufr on me. But I say that namaz is also not an objective. Roza is not even the objective of our life. Zakat is also not an objective. Hajj is not also an objective. Imagine, my brothers, what Shaykh al-Hadith is saying. But let's, before we jump to any conclusions, let us understand what he's saying correctly first. He said, maqsood to sirf ek hi hai. Aur wo ridai ilahi hai. The objective is only one. One objective. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me. And this could be a tashreeh. A tashreeh of the ayah that I just recited. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The objective is only one. That we secure the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have not created humankind and I have not created the jinn except that they worship me, except for my ibadah. What is ibadah, my brothers? What is this ibadah? What is this objective of our life? What is this ridai ilahi? Securing the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this mean? That the objective of our life is to make my Allah happy. I will live my entire life in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will save myself. I will withhold myself from displeasing my Creator. This is our objective. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created me, why? So that I can do those actions, carry out all those commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will make Him happy, that will please Him. And I can control myself, control my desires, save myself, protect myself from committing all those actions that will lead me to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will make my Allah unhappy, that will make my Allah sad, that will make my Allah upset, that will make my Allah angry with me. Now let's go back to what Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith said. What did he say? Na khanka maqsood hai, na tabliq maqsood hai, na madrasa maqsood hai. Because if we are doing all this, we are going to the khanka, we are going to the mashayikh, we are going to da'wat and tabliq, we are going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are even coming to the madrasa, and we are learning, we are spending our time, our money, our health, our wealth behind all these. Yet the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not come out of my life. Then my brothers, we have failed in our objective. We have failed in our objective. Now what did he say? Na salah maqsood hai, na roza maqsood hai, na zakat maqsood hai, na hajj maqsood hai. Namaz is not an objective. Why? Because if I'm praying my salah, if I'm praying my salah but I am still disobeying my Creator, I am fasting and I am still disobeying my Creator, whilst I'm fasting, whilst I'm performing a salah, one is I'm not performing salah, then we can understand, now I'm not even performing salah, so obviously my Creator is, but whilst I'm performing my salah, I am doing such actions in my salah, that instead of hoping for the mercy and the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through my salah, I am actually incurring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through my salah. I am fasting in the month of Ramadan. I am fasting. I am staying away. What is a soul? What does soul mean? What does fasting mean? What does roza mean? What does roza mean? Anybody know? What does roza mean? It's fasting. Soul. As-sawmu al-imsaq. Stay away. To stay away. Stay away from what? Gee, Hashim bhai. Stay away from what? From eating. Gee, good. Anybody else? From eating and?
Drinking.
Good. What's roza? What is soul? We're staying away from food. We're staying away from drink. And we're staying away from our relations with our wives and our spouses. But whilst fasting, I am still disobeying my Creator. Whilst fasting, I'm lying. Whilst fasting, I'm swearing. Whilst fasting, I'm watching and I'm looking at things I'm not supposed to. Then, my brothers, we have failed in our objective. We are just staying hungry and thirsty, and we are staying away from relations in the apparent, but it's not bringing any fruits. It's not bringing anything into our life. We are still living in the disobedience of our Creator. Let's come on to zakat. I'm giving zakat. One is I'm not giving zakat. One is I'm not fasting, but I am giving zakat. I am giving zakat. I'm spending in the month. I'm spending my money. Number one, am I even calculating it correctly? Is my calculations? Am I doing hisab correctly? Or am I just doing a round, rough figure? Itna hoga. Aisa nahi hoga. Shayad aisa hai. Itna hai. Have I calculated every single pound, every single penny? So I'm giving zakat, but I'm not giving the correct amount. I've not done the hisab correctly. So giving zakat, but still in the disobedience of my Creator. Because it's not according to the obedience of my Creator. I'm giving zakat and I'm telling everyone. You know how much zakat I took out this year? How much zakat I took out this year? Or when we come to giving in charity, in sadaqah, then I'm giving and I'm showing everyone that look, I paid this much. I want my name mentioned. That I gave so much. Why, my brothers? So giving, but still in the disobedience of the Holy Spirit. And then we go for Hajj. Such a Mubarak place, such a Mubarak time. The most blessed place in the most blessed time. And yet still in the disobedience of my Creator. Am I carrying out the arkan and the actions of Hajj correctly? And if I am, then am I staying away from sins? In the haram, in front of the Kaaba, in the most holiest of places. And all I'm thinking of is what? Instead of connecting myself to the Creator, and I'm just showing everyone. Ab to recording hota hai. Ki sir, tawaf karte karte. Look, this is my first tawaf. He's in front of the Kaaba and he's showing the whole world he's doing tawaf. And all he's bothered is, my photo is shown in front of the Kaaba. Oh look, I'm in front of Rawdah Sharif. I'm in front of Rawdah Sharif. My brother is in front of the Kaaba, in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave. We are doing these actions still in the disobedience. So what is the objective of our creation, my brothers? Keep this right in the forefront of our mind. That my objective is not to do these a'mal, just to complete, just to tick a box. My objective of my creation and of my entire life is that I stay away from the disobedience. I stay away from all those things which makes my Allah unhappy. And I come on to the obedience of my Creator and I carry out all those good deeds. All those good deeds which makes my Creator happy. And my brothers, if we bring this ibadah in our life, if we bring this ridai ilahi in our life, another word, if we bring this taqwa in our life, throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us and commands us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. Makunu ma'as sadiqeen. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله Taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. O believers, inculcate the quality of taqwa in your lives. O believers, inculcate the quality of taqwa in your lives. What is this taqwa? So in many translations of the Quran, then they write there, O believers, fear Allah. Fear Allah. Which, technically, there's no problem with the translation. But what does it mean, fear Allah? Fear Him as you would fear a lion or a snake. Fear lion, snake. Fear a spider. How many zaman the spider is about 30. How we would fear a spider? That's how we should fear Allah? No, my brother, this is not what taqwa is. This is what not the taqwa or the fear that we need to create. Where did this word taqwa even come from? Where is this word taqwa coming from? It comes from the Arabic word al-wiqayah. Taqwa comes from al-wiqayah. Al-wiqayah is a shield. A shield. Okay, what do we do with a shield?
Protect
yourself. We protect ourselves. We're creating a barrier. We're creating a shield in front of us. From what? What's coming? The disobedience of Allah is coming. Shaitan is coming. The whims and desires of our nafs is coming. And they want to attack us. And they want to involve us in sin and in disobeying our Creator. So, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullah. O believers, O those who have brought iman, O lovers of Allah. Hakim Akhtasab rahimahullah used to make a beautiful translation of Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. We would say Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, eh, iman wala. O believers, but Hakim Akhtasab rahimahullah, O friends and beloved of Allah. Why? الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور. You are iman. You have iman in your heart. We are proclaimers of the kalima لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us with the greatest gift of iman. And with this gift, automatically Allahu waliyu alladhina aman. Allah is the friend of the believers. So just by giving us this gift, e iman walo, yani e Allah ke pyaro. O beloved of Allah, ittaqullah. Create a wiqaya, a barrier, a shield. A shield between you and the disobedience of your Creator. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many places explains to us how to get this taqwa. How to achieve this taqwa. But before we go into that, what do we get when we get taqwa? What are the virtues and what are the results of taqwa? When we live our entire life in the obedience of our Creator, and we restrain ourselves, and we control ourselves from fulfilling our every whim and desire, which will lead us to the disobedience of our Creator, what do we get? What are the virtues? Number one, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that live your life with taqwa. Save yourself from every disobedience, come unto every obedience of your Creator, so that you may become successful. Successful is guaranteed, my brothers, in this world. Success is guaranteed in the qabr. Success is guaranteed on the day of Qiyamah, if we adopt this quality of taqwa. Number two, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. You will get the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. Live your life with taqwa and you will get the ma'iyat, the closeness, the companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the muttaqeen, loves those who strive day and night to live in his obedience and to stay away from his obedience. So what did we get? Number one, success. Number two, we got the ma'iyat and the company and the companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, we got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, u'iddat lil muttaqin. Jannat has been prepared for who? Jannat has been prepared for the muttaqin. Jannat has been prepared for the muttaqeen. So we got Jannat also. And number five, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. My brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world such that this world is a namuna of Jannah and Jahannam. Understand this, my brothers, that we came. Do you understand what is our reality? What is the reality of life? Life is a long journey. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, then according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we understand that the souls of every being was created. Every being that will come into this world was created as well. And they all went into an alam. We call it the alami arwah, the realm of souls, the world of souls. And what happens then? When it's our time to come into this world, then our soul is transferred from one alam to another alam. We transfer from the alami arwah to the alami dunya, to this world. And we are then transported into the wombs of our mothers. And there are a lot of things are written in the wombs of our mothers. One thing which is written is, how long is this person going to live? What is the lifespan of this person? It's already been written. How much rizq this person is going to get? How much rozi you're going to get? It has already been written. And is this person a shaqi or a sa'id? Is this person going to be a fortunate person, or is he going to be a wretched, unfortunate person? And that is also written when the soul is transferred into the wombs of our mothers. And then we come into this world. And after this world, we go into another alam. They call it the alami barzakh, the world of the grave, where our qabr, our grave, becomes either a rawdha min riyad al jannah or hufratun min hufrat al niran. It becomes a garden from the gardens of Jannah. This is not haqiqi Jannah yet. This is even a greater manifestation of Jannah. A manifestation of Jannah, not the real Jannah. Or it becomes the hufratun min hufratin niran, a pit from the fire, from the pits of hell. And then we stay in this alam. And then our souls, so this life, this whole creation of ours, is just a transportation of our soul. We go from one alam to another alam, from this alam to the alam of the barzakh, from the alam of the barzakh we end up on alami akhir. And from there, our ultimate destination is one of two: Jannah or Jahannam. So it's just a transportation of our soul. Our soul transports from alami arwah to alami dunya. From alami dunya, we get taken out and we go into alami barzakh. From alami barzakh to alami akhirat. And alami akhirat, we go into either Jannah or Jahannam. That's why my brothers, every single day, and it comes in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that four things he need to do. Four things he need to do every day of Ramadan. Number one, kathrat. Say a lot of la ilaha illallah. Number two, astaghfirullah. Number three, as'aluka al-jannah. Ask Allah for Jannah. Ask Allah for Jannah. And number four, ma'udhu bika min an-nar. Seek Allah's protection from Jahannam. Daily, my brothers, daily, ask Allah for Jannah, seek protection from Jahannam. Ask Allah for Jannah and seek protection from Jahannam. Ask Allah for Jannah, seek protection from Jahannam. So my brothers, whilst we are living in this world, and the success of the next two worlds to come, the alami barzakh and the alami akhirat, our success and our failure of those two worlds is dependent on our deeds of this world, whilst we're in this dunya. And my brothers, in this dunya we will see. There will be times of happiness and there will be times of sadness. We will have to experience. We will be healthy sometimes and we fall ill sometimes. Life will be born. We will get children. Family members will get children. And life will start. A new life. And we will see the occasion, we will witness the occasion of happiness at the birth of a child. And we will also have to taste the bitterness of the death of our family members. My brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this dunya such that there is happiness and there is sadness. So we will have to experience this, but if we adopt this taqwa, if we adopt this taqwa and we live our life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That whoever inculcates this quality of taqwa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for him a exit from every difficulty. That even when you are in difficulty, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire you and you will be protected, that even in the difficulty you'll be smiling. The eyes will be crying, but the heart will smile. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's own son passes away. And the death of a child is the hardest, probably the most difficult pain a person can probably feel in this world. The death of his own child. I remember this recent earthquake that took place in Syria and in Turkey. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah alleviate their pain. Allah grant them sabr jameel. Allah grant all those who lost their lives the rank of martyrdom and of being shaheed in his path. But ask them, my brothers, 90-second earthquake. In 90 seconds, their entire life changed. It took 90 seconds, my brothers. Just imagine, just think to yourself. Allah keep this country in his aman and his safety. They say that we are protected, we don't have all this. But my brothers, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pakar will come, Allah keep us in his hifz aman. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment comes, my brothers, there is no escape. But in 90 seconds, my brothers, just think for a second. 90 seconds, and a father loses all his wife and his children. Mothers were losing their husbands and children. Children were losing their parents. Parents were losing their children. In 90 seconds. Allahu Akbar. But وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. If you adopt taqwa, if you inculcate the quality of taqwa in your life, then even in difficulty Allah will create an exit for you. Even in difficulty Allah will create some sort of exit. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Let's go back. They had something. They were all living however they were living. Some were prosperous, some were living in poverty already. But when you adopt taqwa, then from avenues that you wouldn't even have thought of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring your rose. So five things, my brothers. If you live your life with taqwa, falah. You will get success. You will get Allah's ma'iyyat. You will get Allah's muhabbat. Jannah has been prepared for such people. And you will be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create an exit for you from every difficulty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure rizq, sustenance, whatever you need at your time of need will reach you from avenues that you did not even think of. And this is, my brothers, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us Ramadan. To achieve this taqwa. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say?
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this month of Ramadan, made siyam, fasting, farad upon us. He made it obligatory upon us. My brothers, in this is also a hikmat and a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That by making these things farad, by making salah farad, by making roza farad, by making zakat farad, by making hajj farad, it is not a burden, my brothers. Unfortunately, our mentality has become that Islam is so difficult. Our religion is so difficult. Our deen is so difficult. Why? And ye panch namaz waqt. Panch waqt ki namaz padni. Nahi padhenge to? We'll get punished. We'll get the danda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'll have to pray. I have to fast. I have to give zakat. And if I get the means, then I have to go for hajj. So everything, my brothers, we have taken our whole deen as a burden. Karna hi padega. We have to force ourselves to do it. But my brothers, our mentality is wrong. Change our mentality. We're not doing it because I have to do it. I'm doing it because I want to and I need to do it. Let this be our mentality. I'm performing my salah. Why? Not because I have to. Because I want to and I need to. Because I've not been created for this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by making me perform salah, does not want to take away 15 minutes of my time so that I can't do my business anymore. Or now I have to stop my football match for 15 minutes because I have to pray my salah. Or I have to stop my gym and my whatever I want to do because I have to perform my salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made 5 times daily salah. Why? Because He wants to give us something. Let me make it farad on them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the sahaba that, oh my sahaba, if one of you have a stream outside your house, and every day he's going into the stream 5 times a day, will any dirt remain on his body? And sahaba said, no, no dirt. He said, this is the example of 5 times salah. That by making us pray, if it was left to us, none of us would read. But by making us pray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to purify us, wants to forgive us for our sins, wants to give us all these things: eternal success, His ma'iyyat, His muhabbat. He wants to give us Jannah. He wants to make our life easy, peace and serenity in this life. So He makes us perform salah. Similarly, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, roza has been made farad upon you. And to make it a bit lighter, you're not the only one that was made farad. Siyam has been carrying on for generations before you, even before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. But what was the objective? Not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to get any benefit from keeping you hungry. What's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to gain? From you staying away from food, from you staying away from drink, from you staying away from relations with your wife for a limited amount of time. Ayyaman ma'dudat. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to give? Nothing. But why then? Why did He make it faradan? So that we can accomplish these 5. That by fasting and by staying away from And by fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can get the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can get the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can guarantee our success in this dunya, in the qabr and the akhirah. And we can make sure that we have a life of peace and serenity. My brothers, contentment of the heart, itminani qalb. This is the greatest bounty a person can be given in this world. My brothers, a person will have nothing in this world. He won't even have a roof above his head. He won't know when his next meal is going to come. But he has iman and he has taqwa in his life. He understands that I've got nothing. But I still have to live my life in the obedience of my Creator. And I will stay away from the disobedience of my Creator. And my brothers, this person is guaranteed itminan qalb in this world. He'll have nothing, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hakim Akhtasab rahimahullah used to say that technology has advanced so much that our watches have become waterproof. Now everything become waterproof. Our phones, everything become waterproof. So if insan could do such taraqqi that they can make our gadgets waterproof, then is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not able to make our hearts grief proof? My brothers, you'll have nothing. You look all around you and all you can see is difficulty and difficulty. All you can see is misery and misery. But my brothers, the wali of Allah, the people that live their lives with taqwa, their hearts will be grief-proof. They'll have nothing in the apparent. When we see them, we'll say, bichara. We'll say, what a difficult life he's living. What a difficult life he's living. But my brothers, ask that person himself and the itminani qalb he's got. Then the billionaires and the millionaires who's got every resource that they could dream of and they can think of at their fingertips. And the itminani qalb, those people will not even be able to dream about it. So my brothers, so fasting has become farad upon us, so that we can inculcate this. So how are we going to inculcate this? How are we going to get this fasting? Imam Ghazali rahimahullah mentions that there are three different types of people who fast. One is the fast of the layman, the normal fast, the minimum level. The minimum level of fasting is you stay away from food and drink. Not because I have to. Not because there is such a burden and ab Ramzan aa gaya, kya kare? No, because by staying away from this, by fulfilling this minimum obligation, then I will get the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will be securing my success in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirah. I will get the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make my entire life a life of peace and serenity in this world. The first level is we need to fast. Every adult, every baligh, person who has reached the age of maturity, must fast. And we must fast and we need to fast. Those of us who are ill and who might have an excuse, then don't just take it as a side note. I can't fast, I'm ill. I can't fast, the rozas are too long. I can't fast, I get too hungry and I get too thirsty. No, my brothers, don't just make your own fatwas. Who can fast and who can't fast? When am I allowed to fast and when am I not allowed to fast? No. Go to the muftiyani kiram. Go to the ulama'i kiram. Ask that this is the situation I'm in. Do I need to fast? What? This is my specific. So number one, fast. But not only the fast of staying away from food and drink. The second level of fasting is the fast of the organs of the body.
Keep your hands away from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From touching those things. From fighting. From physical harm. And from also touching and clicking buttons. Pressing things on our phones. And watching this and watching that. Protect the eyes, the fasting of the eyes. Protect the eyes from watching haram, looking at haram. Protect the ears from listening to haram. Protect the mouth from speaking haram. Protect the feet from walking towards haram. Protect the heart and the mind from thinking about haram. Having bad thoughts. Having evil thoughts about people. Protect the heart and the mind from getting angry whilst you're fasting. And the elite and the elite of the elite is throughout the fast, throughout the month of Ramadan, then only Allah. Attention is only towards Allah and not to the creation. 11 months of the year is yours, mixed with the creation. But give 1 month to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it's only you and your ta'alluq and your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is taqwa, my brothers. This is taqwa. So first we need to fast. And how to make our Ramadan fruitful? So it's a whole process, my brothers. Make a timetable. Make a timetable and first assess. Now what time has already been taken? If I have to go work, put that in the time slot. And this is my working hours. If I'm going to school, these are my school hours. If this, these are my sleeping time. And now make a time. So get the salah timetable. The best way to do this is get the salah timetable. First see where is all my namaz. And my brothers, especially my brothers, and my sisters also listening. Salah is of the utmost importance outside of Ramadan and in also in Ramadan, as Mufti Sahib already explained to us in the introduction, that this Ramadan we are going to endeavor, number one, to pray our salah. And from now till Ramadan comes, we're going to assess one thing, do one thing, my brothers. Because we've all heard the hadith that in the month of Ramadan, whoever does a nafil action will get the reward of a farz. But whoever does a farz action will get the reward of 70 fara'id. The virtue of Ramadan, the barakat of Ramadan, the blessings of Ramadan. So my brothers, our mind goes to that, yes, I will pray my farz salah. But then our mind goes that, let me do a lot of nafil. My brothers, if we have qadha salah, then Mufti Sahib, if I'm correct in thinking, that even in the month of Ramadan, instead of performing our nawafil, then take this opportunity, the few weeks we have left, sit with Mufti Sahib, sit with the ulama, and assess how much qadha I've got, and rather than getting the thawab of our nafil upgraded to the farad, rather start fulfilling our qadha salah. Start fulfilling, start making that. How much qadha salah have I got? And from now, my brothers, don't wait till Ramadan to start performing your qadha. From now. Why? Because remember what did I say? We need to start living in the obedience of our Creator. But if we still have so many disobediences left, number one, we'll need to make tawbah from all those disobediences. And when it comes to salah, and when it comes to roza, but now maybe it's too late to do roza, but fast. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha says that he used to fast almost the whole month of Sha'ban in preparation for Ramadan. But if you and I go and do that, we'll fast the whole month of Sha'ban, we'll leave the whole month of Ramadan. Up to Bahut Taqay. Yeah, so maybe up till the 15th of Sha'ban, maybe you can fast and start making up your qadha. At least, come as come, you can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I've started to mend my deficiencies. But the qadha salah, my brothers, start tallying and counting up how many qada salahs do I have. And start reading your salah from now with pabandi, men in the masjid, women at home. And all your nawafil, then leave it. Instead of your nawafil, start replacing it with your qada salah. And even in the month of Ramadan, mashallah, we get our shawq that at tahajjud time we read tahajjud salah. At awabin time we want to read our awabin. Yeah? So good, definitely, I'm not saying don't do it. If you can do both, nurun ala nur. If you can do qada during the rest of the times, and in these mubarak times, where it's awabin time, we read our awabin, where it's tahajjud time, we read our tahajjud time. When it's Ishra, Chash, we did our Chash, and we are doing Qadha, then Nurun ala Nur. But if it's a clash, this or that, because I'm too lazy, and we know how lazy we are. I'm too lazy, it's either only Awabin or it's the Qadha. And my brothers, go for the Qadha. Go for the Qadha. Instead of the Tahajjud time, and if you know that it's either Tahajjud or I can do my Qadha. If it's one or the other, if you can do both, alhamdulillah, nurun ala nur. But if you have to choose, then go for your qadha. Start mending your relationship. Start getting your tawbah accepted by making up for our miss salah. And then perform, and make sure we are performing each salah. Each salah, and for men in the masjid. Especially, even now, throughout the year, and especially in the month of Ramadan. Yeah? And that also includes Maghrib Salah. Actually, we pray all our other Salah. Maghrib time, everyone's on the dastarkhan. Maghrib time, sab dastarkhan. Kahan? Garbe. No, we got nice meal and food. No, my brothers and my sisters, encourage your menfolk at home. Now, no food. The table will not be set until after Maghrib Salah. I thought we set the table so nicely up. How are we going to come out when the table is looking so delicious after the Asr Salah? So now my brothers know, and my sisters, encourage your menfolk. Kick them out the house. Tell them, go for Maghrib Salah first, and then I'll give you food. No Maghrib Salah at home, my brothers. In Ramadan, and we're reading Maghrib Salah at home. La hawla wa la quwwata illa. No, my brothers, come to the masjid. Come to the masjid. So fast, my brothers, and make our fasting not only staying away from food and drink, but make our fasting also fasting of the entire organs. Read our salah with jama'ah in the masjid, and taraweeh salah. Yeah, this is the one golden opportunity for us to listen to the entire Quran in Salah. And don't come for Taraweeh Salah and sit at the back, and as soon as the Imam is in ruku, and I quickly run to them. Ya Allahu Akbar. No, my brothers, this is the one opportunity in the year we get. One opportunity in the year we get to listen to the entire Quran in Salah. And what do? Either we don't read Taraweeh Salah in the masjid, or we do. But in the masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're sitting at the back now. And until the Imam starts going to ruku, and then Allahu Akbar will start. No, my brothers. Read your Taraweeh Salah with the Imam from the beginning. From the beginning. And listen to the Quran. And read a lot of Quran, my brothers. One of the easiest ways to attain taqwa, besides the farad of salah and roza and zakat and hajj, one of the easiest way is reading the Quran. Recite a lot of Quran. For my brothers, with quality, not quantity. Our respected Hazrat Damat Barakatuhu, he says that it's not about reading a lot of Quran. My mistake, I take that statement back. It's not about reading a lot of Quran. We think that we need to read a lot. No, we need to read a lot with quality. And if the clash comes, do I read a lot very quickly without any tajweed? Or do I read little but correctly with tajweed? Then my brothers, give preference to quality over quantity. So how do we do this? Now look at our timetable And whatever free slot we have, we say, okay, this half an hour is for Quran and Quran only. And spend half an hour. And in that half an hour, if you only read one page with quality, then it's better than that person that read three juz without any quality. Read Quran. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس. This month is a month of Quran. So that's my message to remember this. Number one, taqwa. This is the objective of our entire life. And for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Ramadan. In Ramadan, we need to make pabandi with our salah. We need to make pabandi with our soul. We need to make pabandi with taraweeh. And we need to make pabandi with Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding of our deen. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وسلم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله، فصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أنت أهله، وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله، فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا ولأهلنا ولمن حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم سلمنا لرمضان وسلم رمضان لنا وت
تسلمه لنا متقبلا رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لنا وربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين
JazakAllah khairan to Maulana Sahib for that very beautiful talk. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to practice upon the messages that Maulana imparted to us. Inshallah, the Adhan will take place now. Straight after the Adhan, we'll perform Sunnahs and then we'll have the Jamaat at 7:30. And straight after Namaz, Inshallah, food will, mashallah, the Dastarkhan is already laid out, so food will be served. Make sure everybody eats and before they go home. Similarly, sisters upstairs, please make sure you partake of the food before you go home. Food will be sent upstairs as well, inshallah. Whoever doesn't have wudu, just go and do your wudu and you can come back. Just do your wudu and come back and for namaz.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله